One of the best starting places to understand what the will of God is to understand faith. Faith is a very intricate part in understanding the will of God. You can't understand the will of God without faith. Therefore, it is very fitting and I believe proper that we would examine this evening faith and look at the what I call Hall of Fame of faith and examine just for a moment verses 1-6 this evening. And I want to share some of these stories on the subject of do you have your receipt? Do you have your receipt? Anybody know where I'm going? Already? And y'all are good. All right. The Bible says in verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The subject is, do you have your receipt? When you purchase anything, you pay your money, they bag up whatever it was that you bought, and then they will, as you give them money, they'll either give you some change, but every time they give you what? A receipt. And the receipt is proof that you purchased something, correct? Can y'all hear me in the back? Why y'all not looking at me? So you have proof that you have purchased something because you have a receipt. Proof of purchase. Well, things in God's kingdom work the same way, and I want to show you that this evening. But I want to take the scriptures backwards, if you will. I want to go with verse 6 and go backwards. You know why I'm doing that? I just felt like it. Normally, I would go forward and you would try to think you know where I'm going. I'm going to go backwards this time. Is that all right? It works the same way backwards. Y'all looking funny. Okay. So verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see how that will thing doesn't work, right? It's impossible to please God without faith. But I see two more things here. He says that anyone that comes to God has to first believe that he is. Can you believe that our days in the 20th century, there are some folks claiming they don't believe there's a God? What's wrong with them? You don't need to be a rocket scientist so that there is. You know you can't explain that sun up there. It had to get up there some kind of way. And even when science tries to tell you about a Big Bang theory, that had to come from somewhere too. So no matter how far you go back, and you want to talk about a little amoeba that started in some water, where did it come from? You can argue with them all you want, but eventually they got to get to in the beginning. And in the beginning, we know God created the heavens and the earth. Well, when was that? In the beginning. Don't let anyone fool you and tell you that the Bible is just 4,000 years old. Because there is no time in the beginning. There is no time. Adam didn't write that. Moses did. Moses heard about that. And so he wrote that and God didn't give him a time. So that means in the beginning was before all them dinosaurs. They existed. They got bones millions of years. In Job, it talks about the behemoth. Y'all read that before. That behemoth could eat from a mountain, had a tail like a tree. His power was in his thighs. Y'all sign no brontosaurus to y'all? But the point is, in the beginning is before that. It goes back even further. So whatever science tries to say, in the beginning still exists. They can't get further back than in the beginning. So we understand that we have to know that God exists. There is too much order. Now understand the premise here, because if you were to walk into someone's house and you saw the table was set, you would think somebody set the table, wouldn't you? If you are in your right mind, you would think somebody set that table. Now, nobody would come up with the idea that somebody left the window open and the breeze blew all the dishes together and it was all perfect like this with the silverware and all the things set up because the wind did it. Don't that sound silly? Nobody would think somebody threw a firecracker in there and it blew up and all the dishes fell and they rolled to the table and they fell on the table and they set up in order. Ain't that silly? That is just as silly as somebody trying to say it ain't no God. It's just as silly as that. So when we understand that first there is a God, and without faith it's impossible to please Him, but you got to understand that He does exist. That God is real. God is not a thing that you can put away and take out when you feel like it. God is not a place that you think you can go to and it's a holy tabernacle and something is special about it because you built it. God is none of that. God ain't even a person. No fleshly being. We see a manifestation of God in Christ, but the Bible tells us clearly that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. Now, the Bible does not tell us everything we need to know about God. Understand that we couldn't handle everything there is to know about God. Our Creator is far bigger than we could ever imagine. So understand that if a caveman was to walk on the beach and he found a watch, he would pick that watch up, he would look at that watch, and there is no way that he could tell you everything about the watchmaker. He couldn't. All he knows is that somebody made this watch. But that watch does not define the watchmaker. Nor does the creation define the Creator. We don't know all there is to know about God, but we need to understand tonight that He is. God is. Well then, not only that God is, here's the benefit. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think the problem with this verse is that there are some folk that are just not diligent in their seeking. Some folks are playing with church. Some folks are a little on the too wishy-washy side. They are not steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the will of God. They're not doing that. We know what diligent is. Don't we know what diligent is? You know when you see a girl that you like, fellas, and you really like her, you are going to diligently seek her. Amen, somebody. You will diligently do things that you know you don't do normally. You find your way to get some flowers. You want to take her out to a nice dinner. You compliment her on how she looks. You get mad when somebody else look at her. You are diligently pursuing her. Now, when that comes to God, we forget what diligently means. You know, diligently does not mean to carry your Bible to church and never open it. It does not mean to take your Bible home and sit it down and you got to look for it Saturday night so you can bring it back to church on Sunday. Diligently does not mean that you forget about God after Sunday and Monday through Saturday do whatever you want to do. That's not diligently. But we have to be in God's Word. like we're feeding, because that's what we're doing. We're feeding our spirits, and we are diligently with that. A child of God should read the Bible several times a day. Several times. You eat several times, don't you? You feed your spiritual body that much, don't you? Why wouldn't you feel your spiritual body as much? We should be diligent. Some people will say, well, we just don't have time. That's not diligent then. We make time for the things we want to do. So if you know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, why wouldn't you diligently seek him? He comes bearing gifts. Why wouldn't we diligently seek him? It's not that hard. Let's move on. Our good friend Enoch. Y'all know about Enoch, don't you? I love the story of Enoch because Enoch is a wonderful example of how God is. Look at verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Boy, that's a good testimony, isn't it? Did y'all know? Did that ring a bell? Like, that's in there three times. We need to know something about translation. What does it mean to be translated? Because see, Enoch was translated and he didn't see death. And really did not see death. You know that it's appointed once for man to die and afterwards the judgment, right? Enoch didn't die. God translated him. There is a spirit of that for us. Because you see, those that have been baptized into the body of Christ, we talked about this morning, they have been put on Christ. But Paul told the church of Colossae that we would be translated into the kingdom of his dear son, chapter 1 and verse 13. So we too would then be translated and we would escape the second death. See the parallel? Enoch escaped death because he pleased God by faith. If we please God by faith, we will escape the second death. Y'all know there's a second death, right? See, everybody's going to die because of what Adam and them did. Adam made sure we all going to die. And so because we are all going to die, there is punishment after that. Now, after you are dead, that's it. I don't care what the Catholic Church tells you, that's it. Don't ask for no extra, don't pay, don't write no check to them people. Somewhere, they told somebody somewhere that there's a place for a certain amount of money, a red flag should have paid us hell, and put them into a place that ain't even in the Bible. Purgatory. Just some homemade religions out there and people so gullible. Now understand this. If you have a loved one and they just ain't never did right, and you know, wouldn't it be great if we could be saved by grandmama's faith? Grandmama got more faith than everybody. If we could be saved by her faith, we'd be good. We can't be. The Catholic Church tried to make a way to do it. And when the people find out that they lied, what are they going to do? They'll be dead then. It's too late. But they already wrote the check. Do you see what's going on? Purgatory. And they tell you that they can pray you in there. Now, despite the fact that nobody in Scripture ever did that, that's not even a biblical term, there are some people falling for that. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. You know they say little babies go to limbo. Y'all heard that? And then recently they're getting ready to change the name of limbo. Now how they doing that? One minute limbo was a spiritual thing. Now they changing the name of it. Some of these religions are so silly. If we really just read God's word, it would be pretty clear. It would be pretty clear. We have to understand that you have to believe in God and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek us. But see, to please God, you got to have faith. And I'm going to expound on that in just a moment, but I want you to get the lesson in Enoch. Enoch pleased God. Enoch walked with God. Understand what that means. John told us if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, Christ his son, will cleanse us from all sin. So if I'm walking in the light and his blood is cleansing me, I can only end up in one place. I can only end up in one place. We don't have to create no new place. We ain't got to pay no money. The price has already been paid. I think you got that. That's Enoch. Okay. Now comes one of my favorite folks in the Bible. Good old Abel. Oh, what will we do without Abel? It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Then it says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Let's see if we can make Abel speak tonight. It says that he offered his sacrifice by faith. I want you to look a little deeper now. It says that by his sacrifice, because it says by which is his sacrifice, it said he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now, y'all know what a witness is, right? You can't be without seeing that. And so his offering obtained witness that he was righteous. That means that he saw something. But now we got to figure out, what did he see? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to go back to Hebrews, but we need to see this. This is the meat of my lesson right here. I know that's the first book of the Bible, because y'all turn and just go to the front and over and back up. And y'all just a flipping first book. The very first chapter, we got the creation in the second chapter, and then Eve comes, and then by the third chapter, we get the fall of man. And Adam and Eve taught us how to get away from God. They say they taught us how to get away from God by being disobedient, right? Yeah. Be disobedient, you will alienate yourself from God every single time. That's how it works. Well, Cain and Abel's story is there to show us how to be reconciled back to God. And that all is centered around faith. So Adam and Eve raised these two sons at this time, but you know they had other kids, but they raised these two. You think they loved Abel a little bit more than Cain? Y'all still don't talk. This morning we established that we can talk, nod your head, do this or something. But do you think that Abel was loved more by his parents than Cain? So it had nothing to do with the parents then.
That's right.
You're absolutely right. Very smart audience. Because see, we want to take our really stuff that didn't give us free will, but free will doesn't checkmate God.
That's right.
God has a thing called foreknowledge. You know what foreknowledge is? God knew already what you was going to do before you did it. He didn't make you do it.
That's right.
But he knew already that you was going to do it. Now, Genesis chapter 18, verse 18 and 19 tells us why he said Abram. We can assume, since Noah was a preacher of righteousness, that God showed favor to him because Noah would do what God said. And everybody that God shows favor on, they didn't earn that. That's grace. It was given. But the interesting thing is that God knew their decisions before they did it. It is God's foreknowledge. He knew already. He didn't determine that. He allowed you to have free will and worked around your will. So when you do them silly things, God knew it already. He knew you were going to do that already. When you say things and do things and try to sneak and do stuff and then fool everybody else, God still saw it. And he knew before you did it that you was going to do that. Now, the great thing about that is that God has a providence. And his foreknowledge allows him to have that providence, meaning he has worked everything out in your stead already. So when you endure a trial, this is why James said, count it all joy.
That's right.
God's getting ready to bring you to another level. He's already worked it out. He knows you're struggling and he knows how far to take it. Because he knows your decisions. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm glad that God walks before us. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Oh, when we consider Abel and Cain, the only way to get faith is by God's word. Romans 17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to understand at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer clearly explained that in sundry times and diverse ways that God spake in time past, he spoke to the fathers, the heads of the household. We call that the patriarchal age. Remember when he just talked to Adam? He ain't never say nothing to Eve. Remember when he talked to Noah? He didn't talk to Mrs. Noah. He talked to Noah, didn't he?
That's right.
He talked to Abram. Remember?
Yeah.
He spoke to the heads of the household first. And then they told everybody else what to do. Patriarchal age. First dispensation. Second dispensation, God spoke by the prophets. He selected a man that was his prophet and he spoke. The first prophet was, thank you, Brother Mitchell. It was Moses, y'all. Y'all asleep? God picked Moses. Y'all remember the burning bush? God picked Moses. That's the first time that happened. First prophet, Moses. And then he picked prophets after that. And they gave the people God's word. This is, he spoke through the prophets. Now, it says in these last days, he speaks to us by his son.
That's right.
But in every dispensation, we're in the third one, there's only been three. We have had God's word in every time.
Amen.
Man has not been void of God's word ever.
That's right.
So, Abel and Cain had God's word. Let's look at what happened. In chapter 4, beginning at verse 3 of Genesis, it says, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. You see that? And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he did not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain, talking with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, the Cain rose against his brother Abel and slew him. Now, what we were looking for is how Abel became witness. Remember? Because Hebrews told us that by his offering, he became witness that he was righteous. That means he saw something. Okay? In this text, it says God had respect for Abel's offering, but he didn't have respect for Cain's offering. So Cain had to see that God didn't like his offering. Because that means Abel saw something that Cain didn't see, and it made Cain mad. Or else, how would Cain know God didn't take his? Y'all follow me? I think I got y'all on this, don't I? I should just quit. I ain't going to tell y'all no more. I'm through. So Cain had to see something. He had to see something because it made him mad, whatever he saw. Abel had to see something because it said it made him witness that he was righteous. There had to be something to let Abel know, hey, Abel, you did it right. Hey, Cain, you did yours wrong. Well, what was it? Let's examine a little closer. If we talk about Cain first, what they offered. Who do you think offering, whose offering, who worked the hardest for their offering? I hear y'all. Did y'all say, what did y'all say? Two people. I think I heard somebody say Jeremiah. Wait, who who worked harder for their offering, Abel or Cain? That was some weak Cains, but you're right. It was Cain. Okay. Cain worked harder because he was out in the field sweating like a slave. Remember, he was a farmer. All Abel had to do was go out there and make sure it was without spot or blemish, right? Now, if it had a spot on it or a blemish, it wasn't even his fault. He just looked for the clean one. How long did it take to do that? That don't take that long, do it? He didn't have nothing to do with making it, creating it, nothing. Nature did all that. God said, set it in motion, and it happened. He just went out there with his eyes and looked. That don't take much time. Even if it was a hot day, he ain't sweat as much as Cain. Cain, though, was out there working hard. Really hard. And he wanted to show God something. You see, the idea was, he heard what the word of God said. But he had another idea. He thought, wait a minute, I want to show God what I can do. Let me show God something here. I'm about to work real hard. He offered his offering. And where did his offering come from? The ground. Now that was already a problem, wasn't it? He offered something to God that was from the ground. Now, if we remember what happened in the punishment of Adam and Eve, God told Adam that the ground was a curse, remember? So if he offered, if Cain offered something grown out of the ground, he offered God an accursed thing, didn't he? Because the ground was cursed. But not only that, that wasn't by faith. Cain did some ad-libbing, if you will. Some extra stuff God didn't require. So Abel had God's revelation. Cain used his imagination. And God had respect for what Abel did. And he did not have respect for what Cain did. Now, thank God we know this entire story, because if we were back then, we wouldn't have the knowledge we have now. But we're going to exercise a little foreknowledge about Cain. Already, we know that's a problem. Already, that means he did not offer what he was told. He heard God's word, he did not obey it. So automatically, we know he couldn't have possibly pleased God, right? And then he offered God an accursed thing. That's another problem. He got two things working against him. But then, here's the problem, and this is one of the oldest stories in the Bible. But you have to understand the divide in the religious world today. There are people walking the way of Cain today. There are so many churches because a man had an idea and found some gullible people to follow him. And they are teaching things that ain't even in God's word. They are confusing the testaments.
That's right.
And they don't know how to harmonize God's word. You know that there are people who actually try to do the Old Testament and the New Testament. They try to hold to some commandments and then try to jump over in the New Testament when it's convenient. Y'all know who those people are.
That's right.
Folks having dreams with stuff circled in the dream. Y'all don't have it. Y'all got the lottery over here. Y'all got dream books. And that meant something. And I believe. I don't see her name in this book. I don't see no property about what she was supposed to be wrong. But because dream. I had a lot of dreams. I could tell y'all we would be worshiping all kind of stuff from the dreams I had. And I don't know how I could possibly get enough credibility to tell you about one of my dreams and you follow it. I don't know how I can get that kind of idea that dream event. No, she would have a dream like that. Do you know it was done in the New Testament? It was going to be done in the Old Testament? And it was thousands before. One of my 22, David wrote something, crucifixion had never happened. No such thing as crucifixion, but in Psalms 22 it says they pierced his hands and feet. You see how God works? A thousand years later, Jesus get crucified. That's the power of God's word. So we can have assurance as we follow that Jesus was going to come by a virgin birth before Matthew said it.
That's right.
We knew that because Elijah said it. And it was prophesied. Y'all remember? We knew they was going to crucify Jesus. That was prophesied. If we were living in that time, at least I hope, we wouldn't expect Jesus to be all rich and coming like that. When Elijah told us that it was no form or comeliness. And there's what, nothing about him that we would like or desire. Remember that, Isaiah 53?
Yeah.
So, these things were prophesied already. And God fulfilled all righteousness in the things that he did. That's why he could probably say on the cross, it was finished.
That's right. That's right.
It was finished. So everything that we see in the New Testament, prophecy. It's prophecy. There's a shadow of it in the Old Testament. But never were we to take those things from before and carry them over to now. All it would do is confuse us. And there are some people doing that. Isn't that sad? Because a lady had a dream. Let me move on. The point being, you got a lot of folks going the way of Cain. They got some good ideas, so they think. And it's kind of self-righteous, if you will, because they think they know more than God. Because God said, here's the way, and they have come up with another way. Paul said there was not another, but it's just some people that's going to trouble you and pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we see today. It's sad to be in a religion found on somebody else's dream. I would be afraid. I would be afraid. You know, I would think logically, if I didn't know nothing about the Bible, I would just want to be saved like everybody. I'd stay there. It may not go by that. It, we can, because God doesn't, you know, done that. Brother, first, verses 11, Brother Cain. Because it wasn't just that Cain had a bright idea. There were some other things going on with Cain that we need to understand, because in these other denominations, the same stuff is going on. Tell us something about Cain, brother. Go ahead, read.
For this is the message
that
we should not ask Cain about.
No wonder he didn't do it by faith. He was of the wicked one. So, of course, he would try to come up with his... Keep reading, brother.
And slew his brother.
Uh-huh.
And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
Wow. His whole works were evil. Well, that his works would be evil. Man's imagination is evil. It's evil continually. Nothing good in man. So to follow a man is foolish to follow man. Nobody's cheap. All right, dude. We could do a whole bunch of things that would be considered by worldly standards good, but it would never be good enough. We can do a whole bunch of things and be so sincere, but be sincerely wrong. And there, well, let's talk about Abel. I like Abel because Abel wasn't hard-headed. Some could say Abel just took the easy way out. He just went on ahead and did what God said. And it's interesting because when you just do what God says, you don't have the guilt problem.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Anybody ever felt guilty? Have you ever been guilty about something you know you did and felt guilty? I don't like that feeling. When I'm guilty, my stomach hurts and stuff. What about y'all? Y'all still be guilty sometimes? Okay, y'all look like y'all don't get guilty. I still do stuff, all right? Let me just be honest. I still do stuff sometimes. I think something that I shouldn't. I ain't made nothing. I ain't no. I feel guilty. And it makes my hurt. You would hurt because it ain't. You need to hurt me. But it is still a good place. We glorify, please, my day. We saw, didn't saw the sixes of them. It was diligent. And so they got a reward. Now let's get to the witness part. He had to see something. And we know he had to see something because it said by his sacrifice, he obtained witness that he was righteous. Cain had to see it too because he got mad. Are y'all getting this? Ain't no way in the world if they come to an altar and Abel offers something and Cain offers something and then Cain is going to get mad. Something had to happen. But don't you love the Spirit of God? God gave Cain a chance. He gave him a chance, didn't he? He said, Cain, why are you getting mad, man? All you got to do is do what I said. You do what I said, I'll accept yours too. Now, if you don't do it, sin's at the door, man, that's it. You're going to be stuck. God gave him a chance. And since he got mad at God and he couldn't do nothing, God, he's going to go after God's children. See that? Satan does that. That's the kind of stuff Satan does. Satan don't want to see nobody obey God. He is miserable. So in strengthening his body, he is lovable. And see, I die. I'll be saw. Just half of God's way. Of God sending down, or better yet, reaching down and picking stuff up. Y'all ever heard of that? I never heard of that. Fire coming down and consuming something.
That's right. Yeah.
When it's done right. Brother, turn to Second Chronicles 7. Give me 1-3 and somebody else get 1 Kings 18. And I think I want verse 38. But if I don't, by the time I explain it, you better find it. In 1 Kings, this is the story of Elijah against the prophets of Baal. Remember? And they talk about their love is going to do all this stuff. And they were sent up there dancing and chatting. And Elijah was messing with him. Y'all need to cry out loud. I hear you. He's messing with him. But he set up these altars. And he prayed to God, Elijah did, for God to consume them. And was that 1 Kings? Was I right? Y'all got it? 1 Kings 18?
And it came to pass.
Huh?
At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and art and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word.
Wait a minute. Did y'all catch that? And Elijah prayed that I did everything at your word. God, I did everything you told me to. Now show him something. Go ahead, read.
Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God.
Amen.
And that thou hast turned their heart back again.
Read.
And the fire of the Lord fell.
And what was it?
The fire of the Lord fell.
And
burnt off
and
the burnt sacrifice.
Burnt offering.
And the wood, and the stone, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench.
All of it. That, my friends, is called a receipt. The reason that it's called a receipt, because something was done, and how you know it was right? I did something to show you it was right. You see that? Give me 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7 through 3.
Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord came upon the house.
What really happened? They did it right. Fire came down and consumed the offering. That is how they obtained witness that they were righteous. They did it the right way. So now picture Abel and Cain. Okay? Picture Abel and Cain. Here comes Abel. He offers his. He get down there. Boom. Okay, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Cain walk over to his, put it down. Lord, come on, Lord, shoot. Look. I made this one. Come on now. Abel, I'm sick of you. But can you see that? Abel glorified God and God showed him, I agree with that. That was my word. I agree with that. Cain did not, and so he didn't get the same result. So when that didn't happen to him, he got mad. That's how he knew God had respect for his offering. Because I came down to get it. And he took it up. Now God does that with sacrifices. Let me tie this together for you. When we get to the New Testament, we understand the concept. Because if you don't learn nothing else by the Old Testament, you understand that the blood of bulls and goats was needed to cover sin.
That's right.
Couldn't take it away, but it was needed to cover sin.
That's right.
And when they did it the right way, and they had instructions, when they did it the right way, God showed them that they were righteous. Okay? When we get to the ultimate sacrifice, let me say this slow for you now. Jesus died on a cross, was buried, and God reached down and picked him up. Receipt. You see that? When he died and was in that grave, God raised him from the dead. God reached down and raised him up. Understand the receipt. So then whosoever believes on him gets a receipt.
That's right.
Now watch how beautiful this is. So if you are buried with him by baptism unto death, you have the promise of eternal life and the fact that God's going to reach down and get you. And he gave you a promise he would do that by sending you the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's your receipt.
Amen. Amen.
So I ask the question, if you did that right, you should have a receipt.
Yes, sir.
But if you allow somebody to sprinkle some water on you, if you allow some folk to pour some stuff on you, if you allow some folk to tell you that all you had to do was let him in your heart, you don't have the right receipt.
That's right.
You don't have the right receipt. For this purchase was the blood of Jesus. And we obtain witness through the resurrection that it was righteous. And so then we need to be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And then the Holy Spirit becomes our receipt. We are sealed until the day of redemption. It was the earnest payment for the purchase price by Jesus' blood. Therefore, if we truly are with him, because that's how you're buried, baptism is the only thing that puts you in Christ into his death. So if he was lifted up, you will be lifted up too. But you gotta be baptized. You have to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you have to be buried with him by baptism unto death. Now that's not me talking, that's Paul. Now y'all can get mad at the apostle Paul. Y'all get mad at me too, because I'm big, I can handle mine. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. But the point is that you have to be. It's not optional.
That's right.
You don't see it on option. I don't see in God's word where somebody just letting in their heart. Don't let someone tell you that you got all the way to your deathbed to make a confession and be saved. That's not true.
That's right.
There are no deathbed confessions. No such thing. There is a finality in Christ. There is a such thing as too late. There is an end of the story or the parable of the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
5 virgins had oil. That was a requirement. Now, the bridegroom was coming. All 10 of them knew that. 5 got oil and 5 didn't. When the bridegroom came, the bridegroom accepted the 5 that didn't have theirs. Now, not only did he close the door on the other 5, but he told them, I ain't never even known y'all. I never knew you. He didn't say, y'all 5, hurry up and get some real quick. I'm going to hold the door open. Now, hurry up. He didn't say that. There's a time where it is too late. It is too late. At the time Jesus comes back, ain't nothing that you can say or do then. It is too late, my friends. So understand, that parable teaches it's too late. Those 5 virgins that did not have oil did not get in. They did not get in. And the bridegroom looked at them and said, I never knew you. Depart from me. Get out of here. You're wicked. That's what it said. It was too late. So there is a too late. There really is a too late. So you need to have a receipt. If you don't have a receipt, then at judgment day, you can't look for no promise. There's a promise of eternal life. There's a promise of a glorious resurrection for those that are in Christ. And if you haven't gotten your receipt, you're not getting it. You can't prove that you took advantage of the buy. The receipt does that. I hope you heed the call. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. And he says, you'll find rest for your souls. He says, my yoke and my burden is light. Isn't this easy? All you have to do is respond to the gospel of... Now, do you nations won't argue that part? This man died on a cross and was buried and rose again on the 3rd day. Most believe that. But the way that we take access to the blood of Jesus is a point of contention. Now, some would have you to do something other than what the Bible requires. Something other than what the Bible requires. And they talk about baptism as if it's an afterthought, when it was always part of the plan. It was always part of the plan. And we see the consistency of that throughout the dispensations. If we understand God's use of water, it makes it pretty clear that if we're buried with him by baptism and we contact the blood that way, that all of the promises that are afforded to those in Christ are then available to us. But if somebody tells you something that you did not read in God's word, you can't do it. Can't do it. Can't even say, oh, well, I was baptized. Get in some water. You do that when you tap. No more clean or anything else. I'm straight. No, you're not. You didn't respond to the gospel. You did what your grandmother told you. She said, go get wet. Because that's all that happened. If that's what you think and you are risking your salvation on, you need to respond. Now, understand, it is very simple. The gospel of Jesus Christ is his death, burial, and resurrection. We agree. That's New Testament Christianity. We have to hear that and believe it.
That's right.
And then the change or the repentance that takes place is you deciding to follow Jesus until he come and get you. You are then going to be diligent in walking with him like Enoch. You are going to please God so that he will translate you too. That's the point. Then you must confess Jesus to be the Son of the living God. That's not see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to meet Jesus with that on my heart because I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. And then you must be buried with him by baptism unto death. Every single conversion we read about in the book of Acts, they did it. And they did it at times when it was not convenient.
That's right.
It was not always convenient. I'm doing a lesson later on this week about how inconvenient it was for some. But it was that important for them to do.
Amen.
We have to understand this. So if you're not a child of God tonight, I bid you to come. I want you to respond to Jesus' gospel. Because that's where the power to save lies, in his gospel. If you believe that, we will baptize you today. If you are a child of God and you fall in a guilty distance from God and you have not glorified him in your walk, today you can make a change. Today is the day you need to make a change and begin to diligently seek him. Not laying like you do, but seriously consider your walk with Jesus Christ and what the blood really means to you. If we can assist you at all spiritually, please won't you come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.